The Defense Department has an extra layer of health care coverage that it doesn't need. DOD's Family Health Plan offers premium health care benefits for employees that can't access a TRICARE facility, but the Government Accountability Office says most of the people enrolled in the FHP have access to a TRICARE facility. Deborah Draper is Director of Health Care Issues at the Government Accountability Office and looking at the U.S. Family Health Plan. Deborah, it's great to have you on the program this afternoon. Explain where the U.S. FHP came from, what it is, and especially what it is relative to the TRICARE plan that we're familiar with today, Deborah. Thanks for being on today.
Sure, happy to be on the show. The Department of Defense provides care to beneficiaries through its TRICARE program, so it contracts with three managed care support contractors to administer TRICARE's benefit options in three regions across the U.S., but it separately contracts with six healthcare providers referred to as designated providers that comprise the U.S. Family Health Plan. And they offer TRICARE benefits, prime benefit in certain areas of the country, mostly in the Northeast, Texas, Louisiana, and Washington State. And the U.S. Family Health Plan serves about 134,000 active duty dependents and retirees and their dependents at a cost of about $6.4 billion over a five-year period. And in comparison, TRICARE's managed care support contractors serve about 4.5 million beneficiaries at a cost of about $56 billion over their five-year performance period. So this started out in 1982 when Congress enacted legislation transferring ownership of some public health service hospitals to the designated providers in order to have them provide care to military beneficiaries. And with the National Defense Authorization Act of 1997, it designated that the designated providers offer the TRICARE prime benefit, but that legislation also included a couple of important key features of the U.S. Family Health Plan. One, sole source contracting. It mandated a certain type of contract that prohibits DOD from requiring the designated providers provide certified cost or pricing data, and it also provided for full risk capitation payments, and this would include cost of care, administration, and profit. And basically, the U.S. Family Health Plan has been largely unchanged since the 1997 legislation.
As I read your report, Deborah, it sounded more like it's just kind of been overcome by events than anything else, that some of the changes in TRICARE and the way the plan has changed have rendered this just not necessary anymore. It doesn't sound like a boondoggle necessarily, but some of the things that you point out about USFHP, I wanted to ask about. You write, four of the six USFHP designated providers have more than 80% of their service area zip codes included in areas where the MCSCs, the managed care support contractors in the regional TRICARE system, offer TRICARE Prime. Would it be a straight transition for those people to move from the USFHP plan to TRICARE? Is that do all the people automatically qualify, and what are the ramifications of a transfer like that?
Well, they're already TRICARE beneficiaries, because they're part of the U.S. Family Health Plan, and it's mandated that those providers offer the TRICARE Prime option. That's the option that they have, but they would not be precluded from. They have a choice essentially to join the U.S. Family Health Plan. There are enrollment caps in the U.S. Family Health Plan, or they can join one of the TRICARE options through one of the managed care support contractors. But what you talked about, the four or six designated providers and the overlap, that's just one way that this program really duplicates what TRICARE provides currently. They offer the same benefit, the U.S. Family Health Plan and the managed care support contractors, and that's the TRICARE Prime option. And over half of the designated providers had at least 40% overlap with the managed care support contractor provider networks.
This straight-up admission to me was probably the core of your report, at least in my mind, Deborah. You write, DOD officials told us there's not a function that the USFHP designated providers serve that the MCSCs couldn't perform. Do we have a sense of why they continue to do it, just because they've always done it, or is there some other reason that they continue the USFHP program?
Well, the only way it can change, because it is in statute, so Congress has to take action to eliminate the program or make changes to the program. So it's not something that DOD can do, but it's something that Congress has to do through legislation.
You write, officials from all three MCSCs which together serve over 4.5 million prime enrollees, as you mentioned a moment ago, said they would likely have the capacity and capability to provide TRICARE coverage to all those people. So they would like to get those people into their systems, I'm sure.
And really, for any one of the three managed care support contractors, we're talking about a total population of 134,000. They currently serve together 4.5 million. So
yeah.
It's not a huge program, and it's not a huge number of people. But, you know, there are also other implications that it really does not support the Department of Defense's effort to maximize the use of its direct care system. So, and, you know, it has the potential to divert beneficiaries away from military treatment facilities. And these facilities really rely on having sufficient volume and complexity of patients as a source of education and training opportunity. So that's another issue with the program.
Deborah Draper of the Government Accountability Office, and you write about some of the back office duplication implications here too, Deborah. DOD pays administrative costs and profits to two different groups of contractors for providing the same TRICARE Prime benefit to the same population in many of the same areas. But you're right, we don't always know all the details about that.
Well, that's because, as I mentioned in the legislation, the type of contract that they're mandated to use precludes DOD from requiring the designated providers to give them certified cost and pricing data. So no one really knows what the true costs of providing care are or the breakdown between the provision of care, profits, and administrative costs.
And do we have any sense of the quality of the care going to the people in one plan or the other?
Well, the U.S. Family Health Plan does have a high satisfaction rate, and, you know, part of this may be because they're able to offer additional discounts and services. For example, the U.S. Family Health Plan providers can offer discounts on vision, hearing, gym discounts, which really are the managed care support contractors are precluded from doing. So part of the satisfaction may be attributed to this. But that may be viewed as argument in favor of maintaining the U.S. Family Health Plan, but doing so really comes at the expense of an integrated military health system that optimizes the use of military treatment facilities.
Well, and that was what it occurred to me, is that if the people in the U.S. FHP are happy with what they've got, maybe the way to do it is to look at both of the plans and create one that has the things about each that people that are in each plan like and consolidate them together. That's something similar, I guess, to what we'd see in the private sector. This really, though, as you say, and I think it's worth highlighting, is up to Congress to do something about this, because it sounds from reading your report that the Defense Department is ready to move on this. They recognize, the way that they responded to your recommendations, that this isn't money they need to spend and don't want to spend.
Right. And there are other administrative issues that are involved. There are duplication. They have to annually negotiate rates, you know, two rates, one with the managed care support contractors and one with the U.S. Family Health Plan. But what we did recommend, we recommended that Congress terminate the Secretary of Defense's authority to contract with the U.S. Health Plan, Family Health Plan designated providers in a manner that provides for a reasonable transition of affected beneficiaries into other TRICARE or other programs.
And since that's up to Congress, there's really nothing else for the Defense Department to do at this point.
Right.
Is that fair to say?
It has to be legislated, any changes to the program.